This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2304. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded July 17th, Australia, Azerbaijan, Brazil, Canada, China, Congo, Cuba, France, Indonesia, Iran, Italy, Korea, Luxembourg, Madagascar, Myanmar, Nicaragua, North America, Spain, Turkey, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, one of the very low-power Australian private shortwave stations is back on the air. Peter Tate, operator of Radio 567, notified the ARDXC group on July 14th. Return to the air, active duty. Further info on my XRN page. And then Rod Howard began monitoring this immediately, only via remotes, also in New South Wales. July 14th, from 1320 to 1350, he heard it. It's broadcasting from WEWA NSW. That's W-E-E-W-A. The remote he listened to was Hunter Valley. He says the station had been off the air for about a month with antenna issues, playing the usual nice selections of 50s, 60s, and 70s songs, and frequent IDs. And Ron found the website, radio567.com.au, which says, Radio 567 is mostly about the rock and roll from the decades of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and disco from the 70s, rockabilly from the 80s. We are aware of the disco sucks era, but think it was a bit unfair. To us, the 70s were more disco than classic rock. True rock and roll had seen its day. Since we cover these three decades, it was decided that they should all be included. Rock and roll memories. We hope you enjoy Radio 567. And then Ron Howard had some correspondence back and forth with Peter Tate. He says, he would be one of the exact people I aimed this at. I knew the SWL community is an older group, even myself at 58. We are the last generation that grew up with terrestrial radio. I know the reasons big shortwave operators run block programs and change frequencies, but I am fixed. The decision was made to get to where we are. Ron listened again via the remote July 15th, after 0600, on 4970, and made this recording.
She has thanked everyone who was involved in the search and her rescue. This is Air News.
Buckle up, boys. This might get hairy.
Radio 567.
Some of the good stuff, right? Coming up.
Then Ron got another reply about how much power he's running. Still only a massive 100 watts. They just raised power prices here, too. Not happy about that. And then Ron had a most enjoyable listening experience, outstanding reception via that remote, July 16th at 1845. Amazing what a 100-watt station can do.
Authorized by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Rockin' and rollin', the east coast of Australia. 4970 kilohertz, 2325 kilohertz. This is Radio 567.
Rock and roll memory.
Radio 567. The 70s.
Azerbaijan has not been on shortwave for a long time, but in Rusty X there's a report from Vladimir in Rybinsk, Yaroslavskaya Oblast, Russia, about Radio Azerbaijan on the internet. They broadcast, they webcast in a number of languages, including English, others being Azerbaijani, Turkish, Russian, French, Persian, Arabic, Armenian, Georgian, Lezgin, Kurdish, and Talish. Four of those are for national minorities. There is no broadcast schedule, but the monitor has given many times for many broadcasts, including these segments for English, at 1420 to 1435, 1630 to 17, 2020 to 2035, 220 to 235, and 620 to 635 UT. English programs resumed last November. The news lasts 3 to 8 minutes and then filled with music for the rest of the segment.
Contrary to info on its website, the radio channel Voice of Azerbaijan is now called International Radio of Azerbaijan. Streaming is available live only and can be reached by the website, all lowercase, internationalradio.az/AZ. Following our report last week about the reactivated Rádio Educação Rural de Coari in Brazil on approximately 5035, Zaharias Youngis in Greece and Lucio Tobio Bobrovich in Brazil have been monitoring it almost daily. The best time, it seems, is just after sign-on around 10 UT. From Chrissy Brand's webwatch in communication of the British DX Club about artist Amanda Dawn Christie. Her Requiem for Radio, a full quiet flutter, a 60-minute live performance for human bodies, electrons, radio waves. Architecture, technology, history, and the human body come together in this near-supernatural conjuring of the spirits of the demolished Radio Canada International shortwave towers in 13 movements for the 13 towers. Follows the format of a traditional requiem. But for the RCI shortwave site, it was once located near the border of New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, on the air from 1944 to 2012. Amanda says there are 6 shows in Ottawa at the National Arts Centre on July 25th and 26th. I'll be using this time to prepare the show, the technology, the documentation, the creating, to take the show on a more extended tour across Canada and abroad. More about this at iotainstitute.com. I had another nice sporadic EFMDX opening, UT July 16th, between 0114 and 0200, from several stations in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Montana. Full details, of course, in my log reports via worldofradio.com. David Cole and Mike Cooper forward a Wall Street Journal report on July 16th. China gets more airtime around the world as Voice of America signs off. It goes into quite a bit of detail about what's happening in many different countries. For example, starting with, for years, one of Indonesia's most popular news channels hosted a weekly segment for the country's Chinese diaspora that often featured reports in Mandarin from both the U.S. government-backed VOA and China's state-run TV. Now, since the Trump administration moved to dismantle most of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, only the reports from Chinese state media show up. The U.S. pullback has meant cutting off hard-won broadcast abilities that had taken years to establish into some of the most closed societies, including North Korea and Iran, that allowed listeners to hear a U.S. perspective. Sekyung of the Northeast Asia Broadcasting Institute in South Korea says, "I hear the U.S. Supreme Court will soon make a ruling regarding the closure of VOA. I really hope it will be reopened." But Kenziki says, although there are several lawsuits, none have been appealed yet, and so far as I know, none is even close to an appeal. The SCOTUS has ruled about several tangentially related things, but the VOA and RFE and RFA have not, and likely will not be a hot-button idea with the American public. So I doubt it will be rushed to them like these other cases have been. Since our first report last week, there have been more observations of the reactivated Radio Congo, Brazzaville, on 6115, especially by Manuel Mendez in Spain. He says on the 12th of July, heard from 1820 until off at 1828 in French with news and comments about the Congo. And via remote in the Czech Republic, he heard it earlier, which was before sundown in Spain, at 1748 to 1828. Sebastian Schluter in northwest Germany was also hearing it direct, also on July 12th until 1828. Actually, all these reports are on Saturday, July 12th, so we're not sure if it's on every day. Quite a surprise from Radio Havana, Cuba. I found them on a brand new frequency and with good modulation. July 14th at 2214 in Spanish on 13780, apparently in honor of Bastille Day, mentioning Liberté, Égalité, Fraternité, but an RHC ID as well. Was heard the next day, July 15th, it seemed to go off around midnight UT. And also in the air in the mornings, July 16th at 1341. Past 1420 and again at 2215. July 17th as well at 1358. We're not sure what the total schedule is, but Luis Esquivel in California was also hearing 13780, July 17th as early as 1224. And Chris Campbell in Ohio heard from his contact at RHC, trying a new frequency, 13780 in Spanish, and I hope in a few days, tests on other frequencies for the English service. And here's an old frequency reactivated, but not reported lately. Terry Kruger in Florida says 9650 at 2330 on the 12th of July, thanks to a tip from David Crawford. Gutting USAGM and VOA has consequences beyond. Mike Cooper forwards a story from Dawn.com that Agence France-Presse news agency is reducing its headcount and foreign network costs. They hope to save 4 to 5 mega euro a year with a retirement incentive plan. Funding cuts from the U.S. government under Trump have also hit AFP clients. Some of them, such as Voice of America, have been forced to cancel their subscriptions. Ron Howard reports Voice of Indonesia on 4755 via remote in Bandung near the transmitter, July 16th on the air at 1258 and English at 1300. Also on 3325, which is via Palangkaraya. Iran Nan. On July 10th, after 19 UT, Paul Walker in Alaska was having an NID on 15540. Nothing listed. That is, except Kuwait and DRM, which this was not. Stephen C. Wood in Massachusetts was also hearing it mentioning Iran until off at 1927, July 10th. Mano Rita of WRTH identifies it as Hope of Iran. Omid-e-Iran is the producing organization. Behind the transmission, the shortwave operation is called Radio Zamane Bidari, which means awakening time. And the transmitter site is France. Regarding World Radio being heard on 918 as well as 1323 kHz from IRRS shortwave via AM Italia, as reported last week, a reply from Alfredo Cotroneo. We are optimizing the infrastructure and running some experiments with different transmitters and antenna configurations on 1323 and 918 kHz. However, as of July 15th, I was no longer hearing 918. Ron Howard says, on Sunday, July 13th, I was very surprised to hear Voice of Freedom, 5920, in the clear from 1110 till North Korea's super jamming started at 1130, listening via remote in Japan. Very rare to catch a segment with no jamming. Sik Jung of the Northeast Asia Broadcasting Institute says reception is good. Jamming from North Korea is severe in Seoul. Ron Howard also reports on 7340 National Unity Radio, or National Unification Broadcasting of Unification Media Group, transmitted from Taiwan, directed to North Korea. Heard via remote in California. He says it is still broadcasting, but there was light North Korean jamming. Wednesday, July 15th. Mostly in Korean, but an English minute at 1240. A weekday quotation. There's a way to do it better. Find it. Attributed to Thomas Edison. More reports of that new transmitter in Luxembourg on 6140, attributed to Radio Onda, but carrying that and two other programs depending on the time, as monitored by Manuel Mendez on July 7th. He was hearing Radio Augusta International at 1833 to 1859. Comments in English, 60s hit parade. Then at 1900 to 1924, it was Radio Onda itself, with pop songs in English and French. Then on July 13th at 07:03 to 7:45, it was Radio Gloria in Switzerland with religious comments in German. Julio Roth of Radio Onda replied to Kari Kallio, during the day until 17 hours, it's Radio Gloria, and I take over after that. I'm preparing a home studio to broadcast a show soon. Ron Howard also heard via remote in Belgium the Radio Gloria program on 6140, July 17th, after 0710 with a mass, but Radio Onda after 1533. And their website, radioonda.be, says, the shortwave station is separate from the one in Brussels on DAB+. This is broadcast from Junglinster, Luxembourg on 6140, also serving us 9530 and 15190. But we wonder if anyone has ever heard them on those other frequencies. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2304, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Many thanks this week for generous financial support from Peter Robinson in Preston, UK, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. In the Nashville Flash Sheet, Tony Rogers in the U.K. reports Madagascar World Voice Mahajanga in Russian on July 8th at 19 UT, changing frequencies, but Russian both before and after that hour, first measured on 9884.89 and then on 9844.95. Ron Hard reports Myanmar Radio 5985 via remote in Thailand, July 16th at 1522, with the usual unique Buddhist chanting and ring of a Buddhist bell three times. Then at 1530, an English segment, giving that frequency as well as medium wave 576 and 594. He says normally the news is presented by a heavily accented YL, making it very difficult to understand. Today's less accented OM was a wonderful change, making it fairly easy to understand the news, which started out about military matters, and ID at 1544 and weather and into government propaganda. For a shortwave broadcast from Nicaragua, we have to listen to a pirate who is presumably offshore, since he's called El Buen Pescador, the Good Fisherman. I've tried for this numerous times and not heard him on 8989 USB, but Terry Kruger in Florida says he heard it on the 4th of July, Friday at 2151. Bill Larry says after not logging it for 2 years. Clear but very weak signal, Spanish slow Christian praise vocals. A squeaky voice Spanish man with gospel words. Not sure it's the same guy as previously. Good to hear that this mutante is still active. Look for him around 2200, at least on weekdays. And here's a very unusual frequency for a North American pirate, reported by Eric Fetterswalp in Lake Stevens, Washington. 6170. Psycho Radio, which is spelled S-Y-C-K-O. It dipped down into the 49-meter broadcast band around 0145. Apparently, when it started, he tuned in via the remote in Maryland at 0156. He was doing a mic check and said he was confused why WBCQ was not on 6160, and then continued chatting, followed by Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd. I tuned out a few minutes later. The signal was really struggling with noise on the band, says Eric Fetterswalp. I continue to monitor the token English broadcasts from Spanish Foreign Radio, which is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday only for half an hour at 22 UT. I can pick it up direct with quite a good signal on 15500 aimed at North America, but sometimes it's just as good, if not slightly better, on the South American beam, 17715, if the MUF holds up. Also audible on 15520 for the Middle East, which gets to us off the back, and the weakest frequency, 15390, aims southwards for Africa. They've been pretty reliable lately, but on July 16th, that last frequency, 15390, was only broadcasting a high-pitched tone instead of English. Something's not right at Noblejas. Unfortunately, scheduled at exactly the same time, 22 UT, is the English hour from Turkey for North America, supposed to be on 11785. It's much weaker than Spain if I try to hear it direct, often inadequate, but it's a very good signal into European remotes on the way. But it was missing on Saturday, July 12th, and Wednesday, July 16th. Some editors like to delete my non-logs of Turkey as if it's inconsequential, but I say they are significant. Without them, one might wonder why other logs are specified as not off the air. We are not simply routinely logging stuff as supposedly scheduled, but building up evidence of failures, or at least anomalies, the big picture. Unfortunately, something's often erroneous at Emmerlair. I especially like to catch the mailbag program on Sundays. This week, they announced that TRT is launching a new platform with lots of stuff beyond shortwave. It is trt.global/world. From tvbeurope.com, via Radyogovor, Telegram, via RusDX, the Turkish government has announced plans to build 30 new broadcast towers in major cities across the country to modernize the broadcasting infrastructure. They will be built in Ankara, Izmir, Adana, Konya, and other major cities, replacing outdated, disparate antenna complexes, centralizing analog and digital broadcasting. The new towers will increase energy efficiency by more than 10 times, also intended to eliminate visual pollution from city landscapes and provide safer emissions for residents. The towers will feature modern, architecturally integrated silhouettes, similar to the Jamnitsa Tower in Istanbul, capable of simultaneously broadcasting 100 high-quality TV and radio channels without mutual interference. The World of Radio podmaster Keith Weston explains to me, and perhaps to you, how it works. World of Radio is available at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, YouTube, and nearly everywhere you get podcasts. Because RSS is a distributed system, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of clearinghouses. The biggest players, Apple, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify. But once they're listed there, the podcast just populates everywhere, because other services are built upon these main nodes. Of course, I'm glad if you're hearing me via podcast or other media, but I do consider World of Radio primarily a shortwave program. I've noticed on WRMI's schedule grid that 17790, aimed at South America, has been extended until midnight UT. Of course, that's so they can carry at least 2 hours of classic redneck radio on that frequency, among many others. What has become of XEW Mexico City on 900 kHz? With 250 kilowatts, it used to own the frequency, clear channel in North America. But now there are dozens of low-power stations licensed to 900 at night in the USA. A couple of them I often hear instead of XEW are KHOZ in Harrison, Arkansas, and WKDA in Lebanon, Tennessee. Some comments from Mike Cooper in Atlanta. In all the news reports about the Texas floods, I've yet to see a single mention of NOAA weather radio or of AM radio. It appears everyone was reliant on cell phone communication, and the county official who would issue emergency warnings by mobile phone was asleep when the event occurred. The public now seems to expect to receive warnings by cell phone. You'd think a camp located in a flood zone would have an operational weather radio, but NOAA weather radio seems to be falling by the wayside. AM radios in cars would not have awakened those living along the river. It seems apparent that few people, if any, in the affected areas were listening to or hearing flood warnings on any of the over 280 AM radio stations in Texas. I've seen no reports that FEMA's National Public Warning System reached anyone via AM radio, or that it was even activated. There's no indication it provided info that night that would have saved lives, injury, or damage. And Tony Pavick in Hope, B.C. says, above and beyond all of this is a problem in general with radio itself, AM or FM. Particularly AM has lost its local focus. Tuning up and down the AM dial, all one finds is the same syndicated talk show hosts across multiple channels. We live at the foothills of a major highway that will have snow as late as June. You'd never hear about it on radio around here. No newscasts, and only it'll be sunny as a weather forecast. Having a radio AM or FM in a car is a moot point if nothing serving the info needs of a community is aired. From Inside Radio via Sheldon Harvey, stations around San Antonio and Austin, such as iHeartMedia's News Radio 1200 WOAI San Antonio, immediately shifted to emergency broadcast mode and round-the-clock coverage of the flooding. Mike Cooper replies, it looks like it's just iHeart's self-promotion. All the coverage is after the event, when it's easy for their talk show host to shift to local needs. Lacking is any indication that residents received warnings through AM radio. Even WOAI poses the question, are weather sirens the answer to hill country flooding? And Ken Zicke says, how do we convince people they should stop relying on the phone if the broadcasters aren't really on board? As I record on July 17th, we don't have the final word yet on the fate of funding for public broadcasting. The Senate had voted to go through with the cuts, but the final version through the House was not yet known. Particular concern is how the cuts will affect rural radio stations, which rely on such funding more than urban stations. The BBC World Service had an excellent report about this, how Trump public broadcasting cuts could hit rural America. Its example being KOTZ in Alaska. Henry Minch says apparently the Senate version of the bill has a carve-out to support some stations. If this survives the House, then these stations are likely not at risk, at least for the funding issue. See the Associated Press story headlined, Native American Radio Stations at Risk as Congress Looks to Cut $1 giga in Public Broadcast Funding. Here's another angle from the Washington Post, July 15th via Mike Cooper. Musicians brace for impact as Senate vote on public radio looms. If the rescission bill passes, $1.1 billion of funding will be cut from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, limiting public radio's ability to license music. Hardly relevant in North America, but the DRM newsletter via Mike Terry deals with this issue. There are at least three main ITU-recommended digital broadcasting standards. DRM for all bands, not just AM, DAB, and HD. These solutions for car, standalone, and even mobile receivers are diverse and very often geographically specific. There have also been countries going for not just one digital standard, but more than one. Both DRM and DAB+, like Indonesia or South Africa, or CDR and DRM in China. At the level of chipsets and core modules, there are already several solutions. There are single-chip SDR radios, which can receive all of the above standards with the appropriate software. From blogdorg.com.br via Horacio Negro, a modest proposal. The magic of a free AM band in Brazil. With the massive migration of AM stations to FM, Brazil expanded the FM band down to 76 megahertz, opening the door to repurposing the AM band with a new mission, digital radio. For DRM to succeed in Brazil, transmissions must be exclusively digital with no hybrid format involved. The AM band, now unoccupied and technically ideal for digital, must not regress to the model that forced stations to abandon it in the first place. The propagation outlook from the NOAA Space Weather Prediction Center issued July 14th. Geomagnetic field likely to be active on these dates, July 22nd to 24th, August 2nd to 4th, and 7th to 9th. Unsettled, July 25th and August 1st, otherwise mostly quiet. Or numerically, ANKN is peaking at 20 and 4 on July 23rd, August 2nd and 7th. Quietest dates of only 5 and 2, July 18th to 21st, 26th, 28th to 31st, August 5th and 6th. Solar flux declining from 128 July 18th to a low of 118 on July 20th, then rising steadily to a peak of 135 August 1st and 2nd, down to 125 by August 6th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding, World of Radio 2304, with a standard disclaimer.